Well, good morning, everyone. There we are. Please stand and let's grab a hymn book and turn to 488. 488, A New Name in Glory. Let's sing it all.
I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. When the angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
On the second,
I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't tell Brother John that, but we was talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Aren't you glad? God has your name written down in glory. You're one of the redeemed children of God. You belong to Him. And we have that hope, that assurance, that confidence of an eternity with Him. One day, we'll be home with Him in glory. Well, it's good to see you this morning. You're a pretty good-looking crowd. Don't let it go to your head. But I'm sure glad to be here with you, that we can rejoice and worship our God together. He's a great God, wonderful God, and trust that we'll lift up and exalt the name of His dear Son today. Well, I see some visitors around too, and we're so thankful you're here. Grateful God has been pleased to lead you our way. And we want you to know that we consider it a great privilege and honor that you would be here in this place today with us. There's a lot of places you could have been, but the Lord brought you our way, and we trust that we'll be a blessing to you as you've already been to us. Well, let's take a couple minutes right now and welcome each other in the Lord.
Thank you.
right, if you would, turn in your hymn book again to page 55. Page 55, At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Let's sing the last.
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Wonderful. You may be seated. Turn to 395.
Give you a chance to sing out the melody. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody. In my heart there harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
All right, on the last.
'Twill be my theme in endless with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to take this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. Miss Sandra has put a deadline on the Valentine's coming in for Wednesday. But she said she'd really, really, really like them if she could get them tonight, possibly. And so, Wednesday, by the latest, for those who send in the Valentine's to the shut-ins. And like I said, she'd really like to have them by tonight. Friends and Faith class is having an activity on Friday, and looking forward to that. See Ms. Sherry Davidson for more details about that. Let's see, having the next Sunday night, we're having a sandwich night. We're going to have sandwiches and dessert, and who knows, we might be able to talk one or two people and make some homemade ice cream, hint, hint, hint. Peaches and vanilla, hint, hint. Just saying. We got a youth rally coming up on the 21st. Hey, folks, I'm looking forward to this, the way the Lord has built it. If there's any who would like to help with that, I would say yes, come see me. And ladies, if you could, I would love, just absolutely love, who can bake me some cookies for that. I need some cookies made for it. And looks like we're going to have real close to, we're going to scare 200 to death. And so I'm really excited about this, what's coming up. There has been a challenge between the home builders, yes, and the college class on a volleyball game. And I know for a fact that the home builders have been recruiting some ringers. Uh-oh. Anybody got some Advil? I need it later. But anyway, That's going to have some fun with that. And personal growth seminar is going to be on Thursdays from March 26th to April 23rd. Brother Scott Netterville will be putting that on. Folks, I want to encourage everybody who can. There's sign-up sheets in the back on both foyers?
Both foyers.
Okay, we got sign-up sheets in both foyers. Please sign up for that so we know how many to prepare for and get some information. Brother Paul Crow, he's an evangelist traveling through. Would you come up and bless the offering for us, please?
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the fact that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And now, Father, it is our opportunity not only to assemble here, but to give back to you some of what you have first given to us. I pray that you would take this offering. I pray that you would use it. I pray that you would multiply it. And, Father, that you would continue to bless the ministry of the Metropolitan Baptist Church. Thank you. And, Lord, speak to our hearts in this service. I pray that we would not only receive a blessing, but that we would be a blessing to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. It took a lot of faith to step out of the boat onto the crashing waves, looking to your hope. And just when faith begins to fade, he holds out his hand and calms the waves around you, because he understands in the middle of it all. He is right by your side. He will never let you fall. So hold your head up high in the middle of your trials. He is right there for you, and in the middle of it all, he'll see you through. It takes a lot of courage to stand up straight and tall when you're faced with a Goliath. Yet you heed the call, and when you let the stone go flying, you close your eyes and pray. The giant falls down at your feet, so give God all the praise. It doesn't really matter the problems you may face, how big or how small. It's just a test of faith. So if you're walking in the fire or facing death in the lion's den, there's nothing he can't handle. So put your trust in him in the middle of it all. He is right by your side. He will never let you fall. So hold your head up high in the middle of your trials. He is right there for you, and in the middle of it all, he'll see you through. Yes, in the middle of it all, he'll see you through.
Amen. So good that the Holy Spirit has such a way of putting things together. And I have any clue what the ladies were going to sing, nor do they know what I was going to preach today. But it certainly comes together. We would, through this year, we've been talking about God's power for God's people. We started in that general sense, and just a tremendous, awesome truth that He is an all-powerful God. We've been trying to bring it in and narrow it down to where it's seeing how His power works in and through our lives. This morning, as you would be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you see the ample power of God's amazing grace. The ample power of God's amazing grace. If you found your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please stand with me. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. We need to get the background of this. Paul writing there to that church, local church there in the city of Corinth, and he says, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Then he says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. It was not lawful for a man to utter. Such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Father, once again, we bow before you. Certainly, we understand our own frailties and weaknesses. We realize, Father, that without you, we can do nothing. But with you, oh my, all things are possible. Today, Father, we desire to look in and understand somewhat a little better the ample power of God's grace. Lord, we realize as we've read that indeed you are totally, completely sufficient. And I ask you, Father, to take the words of this passage, minister them to our heart. Lord, I don't know that there may be some in our midst today that are yet without Christ as their Savior. Lord, I plead with you in Jesus' name. Exalt him and no man. Lift up Jesus before our eyes this morning. Lord, I ask you in his name, his saving name, that you draw folks beautifully, savingly to yourself. Lord, we love you. And even at that, we realize we love you because you first loved us. Lord, please bless according to that grace in Jesus' name. And for his glory we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Ministry of the Apostle Paul was certainly unique. There's never been another Apostle Paul. God blessed his labor for Christ to an unmatched parallel. With that, though, success can at times be harder to deal with rightly and in a godly way than failure. Success can be harder for us to deal with than failure. It is a remarkable man that can graciously and humbly handle great success. And a lot of preachers that haven't been able to handle great success. It tends to what? Go to our head. And as Paul says, to exalt ourselves. Well, as we read in the early verses of chapter 12 here, we learn of a time that was 14 years earlier by Paul's words that God ushered Paul into glory. Now, he speaks of himself in the third person here, and I think he does that purposely so that it wouldn't sound like he was even at this, trying to puff himself up or exalt himself. Moses, be mindful, met God on the mountain. Paul met God in heaven. Wow. I don't know of another account in Scripture of such a thing. There he heard, as he read, he heard things that no earthbound man should hear. There in the courts of God's heaven, he heard, he was given audience to God decreeing his program and plans with the court of glory. Wow. Wow. He heard things that no man should hear. How could any man deal with such an experience? Well, God was going to help Paul with that too. Indeed. And we see in this passage the sovereign provision of God's power through his grace. God deals with us according to his infinite wisdom. His infinite wisdom. And we see here the gifts of God's grace. The gifts of God's grace. He gives us, beloved, what we need. He gives us what we need. Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. When we think about the gifts of God's grace, we don't usually include such things as a thorn in the flesh. When we think of his goodness and his mercy to do for us and bless us, we don't usually think of infirmities as a gift. Now, do we? God's far wiser, though, than we are, to say the least. Far wiser than we are, and fully and completely knows exactly what we need. And not only that, he knows exactly how to administer to us what we need. He knows the right way to bring those things in our lives. And we see here that Paul describes this thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. But we also, through the context of the passage, understand that this was something that God permitted into his life. It's very clear. So we see the lessons, God's grace too. The lessons of God's grace. And folks, it does us good to realize that infirmities are not always our enemy. Infirmities are not always our enemy. Now this word infirmity in the words of the Bible can apply to a feebleness of body and or mind. So you take that the way you will. The word infirmity can be some manner of disease, sickness, or weakness. You take your pick. Kind of fits, doesn't it? Those infirmities can, beloved, those infirmities can be an instructor for us to learn of the grace of God, to learn of his grace. Weakness makes us dependent. Just get sick and find yourself in the hospital and find out how dependent you are on others real quick. Weakness makes us dependent. You know, Jacob of the Old Testament had to learn that lesson. And like Jim Turner here, he had to learn it the hard way. Jacob was a very capable man. Jacob could work an angle to achieve what he desired with the best of them. His name, Jacob, means schemer. Schemer, a supplanter. He lived up to it too. Oh yes, he lived up to it. He managed to wrest his brother's birthright for the price of a bowl of soup. And it wasn't until he spent a night wrestling with God that he experienced real weakness. In Genesis chapter 32, we read of that. I wanted to read a little bit of it just so we could get the thrust of this. In Genesis 32, we pick up there in verse 24. Jacob's on his way back to Canaan. And it says here in verse 24, Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." It's not a bad place to get, folks, just to cling to God, hold on to Him, waiting for His blessing. Verse 27, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." What was he saying? The old schemer. "What's your name?" "Well, I'm just an old schemer. My name's Jacob." And he said, verse 28, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." The name Israel means prevailed with God. He wrestled with God. Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, because I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob learned to cling to God. He learned how to deal with weakness. Hebrews gives us a tremendous statement about him and about this instance much later concerning Jacob's walk with the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21, the Hebrew writer is giving us the account of when Jacob would be blessing the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And it says, "By faith," in Hebrews 11:21, "by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." We get that? That night, wrestling with the angel of the Lord, God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and Jacob became a cripple for the rest of his life. To the end of his earthly walk, Jacob was reminded of his weakness, his infirmity, with every step he took. It impacted his walk, beloved. His walk on this earthly way was impacted because when he realized and recognized his own weakness. Infirmity is not always our enemy. Weakness will teach humility. Apostle Paul, as we go back to our passage, Apostle Paul understood this. But Jacob learned the lesson the hard way. Is it a bad thing to realize our weakness? No, again, it's not. Because of that, it reminded Jacob that without God, he was Jacob the schemer. But when God renamed him Israel, he became a clinger, if that makes sense. He found himself at the mercy of God's help. He found himself at the mercy of the God's help that prevails. God is he who preserves, as the passage reveals. That staff that Jacob was leaning on has become an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ as we sing what? Learning to lean. Huh? Yes. And who is it that we lean upon? Our staff, the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who sustains us. That one who supports us. That one who, what? His grace is sufficient for us. We see that, as we said in a moment ago, that Paul understood this as well. In verse 7 of our passage back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, lest I should get puffed up through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me," and he goes on to speak of this thorn in the flesh. Paul said, "Hey, I've seen things that no one else has seen. I've heard things that no one else has heard. But just to keep me from thinking too much of myself, God has been pleased to give me this thorn in the flesh to just remind me of my dependence on Him." We see in this a consistency. We can say the dependability of God's grace. There was evidently, from the time Paul received this thorn in the flesh, a period of time that went on here. He tells us that he had prayed 3 times for relief from whatever this thorn in the flesh was. From the context of the passage, it appears that this thorn in the flesh was some fashion of a physical infirmity, a physical weakness of some kind. God is fully involved, beloved. As the lady sang earlier, God is fully involved with what He is doing in our lives. It's hard to accept sometimes, isn't it? He's fully involved with what He's doing in our lives. And our pleadings, listen, our pleadings for relief are not going to alter God's perfect sovereign purposes for our lives. And I'm glad they're not. I'm thankful that God stays true to what His purposes are for you and I. And though we might want to be relieved, we might want to be out from under the pressure, God is giving us exactly what we need at exactly the time we need it. You say, "Explain that, preacher." I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. We'll just have to wait till we get the other side of that veil and let Him show us the beauty of the tapestry that He's been weaving in your life. We're right, though. We're right to follow Paul's example here, to seek the Lord for His healing, His deliverance from whatever it is. But even as we would seek for that relief, we do it on what? We do it on bended knee, giving our submission to He who rules in all and over all. Knowing, realizing, hey, it's all about this matter of faith and trust that even under the pressure, God's still in control. Yes, and His love has not failed. His love has not failed for you. And in this, we see that sufficient perfection of God's power through grace. The sufficient perfection of God's power through grace. He, in verse 9, it says, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, whose God's strength is made perfect or complete in weakness." God had lessons to teach Paul. God had some things to teach Paul, and for what it's worth, He's got plenty to teach you and me too. He's got plenty to teach us. And he couldn't learn those lessons through the removal of that thorn. You follow me? Paul could not learn what God was teaching him through that thorn in the flesh if he pulled it out. He had to endure that thing through God's grace if he was indeed to learn what God was wanting to teach him. We may sincerely and wholeheartedly believe that, hey, we will give God glory. Have you ever bargained with God? I'll give you the glory if you'll just take this away. Huh? I'll give you all the honor if you'll just remove this thorn. And indeed, God may get glory as He would do that. But beloved, Paul's life, God had bigger. He had deeper. And He had greater things to do through Paul's infirmity than Paul's immediate vision could take in. Huh? What could that be? What could it be? Well, beloved, first of all, Paul learned about the sufficiency of the power of God's grace. He learned by experience the sufficiency of this grace that we're talking about. Oh, God's undeserved, His unmerited, His unearned goodness and favor in our lives. Paul was learning about this. He was learning about this. The sufficiency of God's grace cannot be learned in the ease of the mountaintop, but it has to be learned in negotiating the trials of the valley. Beloved, listen to this. B.M. Lauderville wrote this. I thought it was good. It says, "The vine clings to the oak." You ever been in the woods and saw the vines wrapped up the side of an oak tree? Oh, yes. "The vine clings to the oak during the fiercest of storms. And though the violence of nature may uproot the oak, twining tendrils still cling to it, even as it tumbles down. If the vine is on the side opposite the wind, the great oak is its protection." We see that. "If it is on the exposed side, the tempest only presses the vine closer to the trunk." Oh yeah. Some of the storms of life, beloved, God intervenes and He shelters us. Yes. While in other storms of life, He allows us to be exposed. Why? So that we be pressed more closely to Him. Oh my. Is that good? Wish I'd have thought of it. Paul learned about the sufficiency of the power of God's grace. He learned that for himself. But as well, we can learn. We can learn from what Paul endured by the power of God's grace. We read of this and we study this, and as best we can, we seek to have the Holy Spirit of God to immerse us in it and allow us to be permeated with these truths. Why? Why is that so important? Because, beloved, you're going to face some kind of an infirmity along the way. And you're going to need that provision and that help. When that day comes, you're going to need the amazing power of God's grace. Oh my, we can learn as well. We have the privilege, we have the great privilege of learning from what Paul went through. He told the Corinthians along the way the very same thing in the first letter, concerning what had happened along the way to the Old Testament saints. You ever study the Old Testament and wonder why we still look at this old stuff? Well, here's why. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11, 12, and 13, we read this. As Paul pens this letter, he says, "Now all these things happened unto them," the Old Testament saints. "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples." Examples for us. "And they are written for our admonition,
our encouragement, our exhortation, our challenge, our help. They're written for our admonition upon the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, or because of this, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Paul was concerned, don't get puffed up when things are going good. You're blessed. You're saved. You know Jesus. Don't let that go to your head that you forget the muck and the mire that God lifted you out of. He goes on and he says, there is no temptation. There's no trial. There's no tribulation. There's no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. It's hard for us to swallow that too, because for some reason, when we're in the midst of the battle, we think nobody understands. Nobody's going through what I'm going through. Huh? Hey, we need to get honest. But the truth is that folks have been dealing with things that we deal with since the beginning. Common to man. Those infirmities, those battles, those struggles, whatever shape, whatever form they may take, physical, mental, emotional, hey, material. Folks have been dealing with the same things that you and I deal with since the beginning. There's no temptation, no trial taking you, but such as is common to man. That's an encouragement to me. Hey, God's been on the job. He's been dealing with these things since the beginning. He's there for them. He's there for us. But God, hallelujah. You know how I like those little words, especially when it's followed by God. But God, who is what? Faithful. He's a faithful God. He's a trustworthy God. He's a God you can depend on in the middle of that trial, in the middle of that temptation. He is there. But God is faithful. Not suffer you. Not allow you. Not permit you to be tempted above that you are able. You say, I can't handle this. I can't deal with it. It's more than I can handle. And in one way, that's true. In your physical strength, in your ability, in your understanding of things, that's true. But not with God. I often think of this. My greatest burden I ever carried in life, I need to be reminded, just what did that burden weigh to God? Huh? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What's he saying? He'll take you through it. He'll take you through it. He'll carry you through it. Amen. His grace is sufficient. And then, oh my, this third point, the superior pleasure. The superior pleasure of God's power through grace. These words from Paul amaze me. The superior pleasure of God's power through grace. In verse 9, the second part of verse 9, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. In what, Paul? Mine infirmities. In verse 10, he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Get the guys with the white coats and the big net. This guy's crazy. Huh? That's what we're thinking. How can you take pleasure in infirmity? What an amazing statement. He tells his readers that he's happy to have his infirmities. He's happy to have his infirmities that have taught him much about God's grace. He gloried in them for that reason. Because indeed, it had deepened him. It had broadened his heart and love for God. He gloried in those infirmities. He took pleasure in them. Why? How could he say such a thing? It's hard for us to understand. Because in the weakness and in the frailty of his infirmities, it was there at that place that he experienced the power of God's grace. I don't know about you, I like when life is easy. I like driving on a smooth road and living the same, don't you? I don't like bumps. Huh? When my car's shocks are bad, those bumps expose all the treacherous road. Without the grace of God, those temptations, those infirmities, those trials become so much harder to deal with. Paul had experienced, the only way you can learn this is through the school of experience. Paul had experienced the power of God in so many ways. Many ways. He'd seen the power of God in his own salvation. He'd seen in his ministry God pour out the power of the Holy Spirit. He'd seen that power of the gospel changing lives, saving lives. He'd seen the power of God in so many ways. But in and through this thorn in the flesh, Paul experiences the power of God's amazing, listen, his abiding grace. His amazing and abiding grace to sustain him. Huh? To sustain him in his infirmity. How many folks do we know that live day in, day out with some infirmity? And their testimony is of God's grace. How sweet the Lord is. Here it becomes very obvious to us. In this passage, it becomes very obvious to us that this was not the power of a dynamite explosion. Huh? As we've said over and over, a stick of dynamite, it explodes and whatever it's doing's done. But this power, the power of God's abiding grace, is a power that enters in and sustains all along the way. Continues. That power is an unquenchable power because it's God's power. Paul learned the superior pleasure of God's power through grace. Now listen to this. Verse 10 says, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, the Lord's sake. You see, Paul learned that it wasn't only in the infirmities, the physical or weaknesses that go with the flesh. It wasn't only in the reproaches that he dealt with. Those insults, the mockings that he dealt with as a preacher of the gospel. Hey, even the personal injuries that he dealt with. Not only in necessities. Not only in those days when he did without. And had needs. Not only in persecution. Not only when the world was bringing that oppression on the gospel. Hey, he was part of that till he got saved. the harassment, those that would bring suffering into your life. It wasn't only in the distresses, those difficulties. The idea of this word distress means it means a narrowness. I thought, wow, think about that. It means to be in a narrow spot. You ever been in a tight spot? Huh? You know what I mean. Man, you feel like things are closing in on you. That's what Paul's talking about. Those times of distress when you don't know what way's out. You see, beloved, Paul is saying that God's grace is sufficient in whatever you're dealing with. Whatever, hey, God may allow into your life, He's also going to do for you all the way through that thing. All the way through. In any and in all of those things, God's grace is sufficient. In all those things, there was for Paul and there is for you God's grace. His grace is available that transforms those infirmities and the rest, transforms them from adversity into avenues to God's presence. Where do you get that, preacher? Stick with me. God was pleased to show Paul and us, as we read this, as we would receive it, the ample power of His amazing grace. My grace, Paul, God said, is sufficient. Paul had learned that regardless of what the human weakness is, God's grace is sufficient. Regardless of what it is. It's a tough one to learn, isn't it? I've not had to deal with some things that many of you have dealt with. Sometimes we've dealt with them together, bonded our hearts together. But you've gone through things I haven't had to go through. I've gone through some things that you haven't gone through. It's just the way it is, isn't it? Regardless of what it is, regardless of what it is, God's grace is always sufficient. When God's grace, let me ask you the question. When is God's grace not sufficient? When's God's grace not sufficient? In what situation is God not able to sustain us? Well, we realize what the answer is. The answer is in those simple, maybe easily passed over words at the end of verse 9 in our passage. That the power of Christ, listen, that the power of Christ might rest upon us. Let that soak in. That the power, the strengthening, the ability, the sustaining power of Christ would rest upon us. You know, so often I just get curious. I want to know what this word means or that word means in the languages of the Bible. And that word rest. Now listen to this. This is precious. That word rest literally means, in its literal sense, means the tent, to tent upon, to pitch a tent, or to abide, to pitch a tent, or to abide. Let me ask you, beloved, listen, do you need Jesus to pitch His tent over you? I love it. There's not a soul in this room doesn't need Jesus to hover over us. Not a single person here doesn't need Jesus to just envelop us in Himself. How are you doing today? How are you doing today? Most likely, you fit somewhere in what we've heard from Paul. Every one of us fit in here somewhere. If you're alive, most of you look like you're still breathing. Might be a couple exceptions. If you're alive, you're dealing with something in life. You're dealing with something. And knowing God, knowing God does not make us immune from those infirmities. Knowing God doesn't somehow excuse us from having to deal with those temptations and trials. What it does mean, what it does mean is that you're never alone. You're never alone when you're dealing with them. I cling to that promise of our Lord. Cling to the words of the Lord Jesus where He promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you. Because Paul experienced this thorn in the flesh, he could write these things for us. He could share these things with us. He wrote to the Philippian church in chapter 4 and verse 6. Familiar words to us. Hopefully they will mean a little more to us today. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Paul writes and he says to those dear saints, be careful for nothing, but in everything. In everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I've visited, and as some of you have, in the hospital room with our Brother Bill Morris. And all I know is to lay him at the feet of the cross. To lay him there at the foot of the cross. Commend him to Jesus. Going through a trial of infirmity I have no clue about. Paul could go on to write in verse 7 these words then. And the peace of God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. More than we can even grasp. Peace of God which passeth all understanding. Your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It's one of the last letters Paul wrote. He wrote that letter after experience. Looking back, he could write those words and say, I know for what I'm saying. I've been there. I've dealt with it. I've been through it. And I can tell you that God's grace is sufficient. The power of Christ will rest upon you. What was he talking about? He's talking about, oh my, he's talking about that beautiful tent of his grace. Just there for you. You know, if you're saved today, you probably know somewhat at least of this, may know a whole lot more about it than I do. But if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen. Listen to me. Listen to God's words to Paul. He said, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Friend, I hate it that you might be dealing with life's trials and tribulations, the temptations, the infirmities, and all the rest in your own strength, in your own ability. Jesus loves you. He laid down his life for you, shed his blood to pay the price of your sin so that you could be forgiven and know, oh my, know him in his great grace. Jesus did that for you. And I commend him to you after these 40 years of living with him. Oh my. The tent of his grace is so good. Your greatest need is for the infirmity of your sin to be dealt with. I plead with you. Don't leave this place without Jesus today. I don't want to see you buffeted with the trials of life without Christ. Jesus will do for you. His grace sufficient to save. His grace is sufficient to keep you. Keep you. Let's stand together. Thank you for your patience today. Father, we bow before you. Lord, you know the need of hearts today. Oh God. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you for his abiding presence and keeping in our lives. Lord, I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters here. God, please, please do for us. Do, Father, in our lives, oh God. There's some lessons that are so hard to learn. So hard, Father, to deal with. Father, please. Please today. Work in hearts, work in lives. Encourage, Father, those that are distressed. Help, Father, those that are in infirmity and weakness. Father, please, in Jesus' name, make yourself real. Would you pitch that tent of Christ's grace over lives today? And Lord, again, I ask you, Father, I plead with you in Jesus' name, do for that one, maybe some that are here today that do not know Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, this feeble staff tried to hold up Jesus. And I pray that you'd be pleased to exalt him, magnify him, Father, show him as the wonderful Savior, the wonderful Redeemer that he is. And Lord, if there be any, even one here today that does not say, please, Lord, oh God, I ask you in Jesus' name, draw them savingly to yourself, that even at this very moment, in their heart of hearts, they might cry out, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing love, the power of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, Brother John.
Page 59.
As we sing, beloved, of course, these altars are open, whatever the need might be, whatever the situation might be. And again, I ask you, if you're here today without Christ, you come. We'll do our best to point you to Jesus. I can't do for you, but I can point you to one who can, who's willing and ready to do for you. Please do what the Lord would have you to do. Let's sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted. Jesus is very near.
Turn to page 3, please.
Oh.
Amazing.
Sing it.
That saved like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught. We've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Is God's grace good? It's always good. Has God ever failed you? Nah. Someday when we look back from the portals of glory, think about this wisp of a life that we've lived here. I guess from looking back from that 10,000 years, and think, oh my, God, your grace has been so good. All the way home, huh? Amen. It's the kind of God he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, once again, I just want to pray for my folks. Pray for our church family. Father, please pray for those within this room, maybe hurting, struggling with something in their life. Lord, folks in our church family that aren't even able to be here today because of trials and situations. Lord, I pray your grace. Father, please, as we've learned today, would you be pleased to enter in, pitch that tent of Christ over them. They'd sense him. They'd know that he's there to keep them, to sustain them all along the way. Oh, Lord, we look forward to that day when we'll share glory with you. Oh, my.
We'll look back the road of our life, the trail of our life, and we'll see that every single step along the way, you were there. Your grace, by your grace, were totally sufficient. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you. Brother John, would you come?
It's hard to sing after that, but let's sing There's Power in the Blood.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
You're dismissed.